Welcome to A Magical Life, Health, Wealth and Weight Loss. I'm your host, Magic Barclay, lead practitioner at Holistic Natural Health Australia and number one best-selling author. In this podcast, I aim to give you practical tips on how to accelerate and sustain your health, increase your financial, spiritual and emotional wealth, and to look at something that haunts many of us needlessly, weight loss. In some episodes, I'll have guests available to give you even more tips, but in others, the floor is yours. Drop us a line at A Magical Life Podcast on Facebook and let me know what you would like to know more about. Now, sit back and enjoy, because it is time for you to create and truly discover a magical life.
Welcome back to A Magical Life. I'm your host, Magic Barclay. Today I'm joined by Zane Truscott. He's the founder of multiple healthy lifestyle brands, including Fortune Education, Tolman Self-Care, and The Cleanse Kitchen. Since 2006, Zane has been best known for his work as chief promoter and host of Don Tolman's Whole Food Wisdom Seminars in Australia, bringing reputation and insight to the empowered health movement. Zane is also the CEO and content strategist at Tolman Self-Care, an e-commerce company that offers free education and a boutique range of handcrafted whole food skincare and personal care products, shipped directly to thousands all across the globe. Having facilitated the message of self-care to thousands of people from all walks of life, Zane believes that the biggest health crises in the world today are a lack of consciousness and personal responsibility when it comes to people's physical, mental, and emotional wellness. Since overcoming his own health challenges as a teenager, Zane has spent the past 30 years refining his own self-reliant wellness philosophy to live a healthy, active lifestyle whilst running multiple businesses, raising a family, and maintaining his passion for mountain sports. The next phase of Zane's career is all about empowering the 40-plus-year-olds to reclaim their inner wellness fire by helping them to think well, eat well, move well, and live well. Welcome, Zane.
Wow, what an introduction. Thank you, Magic. It's great to be on your podcast. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for coming. Now, Zane, I always ask the same three questions of my guests, and I just love how diverse the answers can be. So here comes your first question, and that is, what can your expertise do to accelerate health, be it emotional, spiritual, or physical?
Look, that's a great question. I think for me, the biggest thing that I've kind of prided myself on over the years is staying very, very consistent with doing the little things right. And, you know, what I've discovered over the years in you know, working with so many people from so many different backgrounds, with so many different health challenges, so many different hopes and dreams, people who are just looking for alternative ways to the mainstream to take care of themselves, I've discovered that the three big things that have the biggest impact on people's life is not a protocol or a particular physical, nutritional, or, you know, exercise type solution, but it's more, goes much deeper than that. It really comes down to their mental state of mind and their belief systems and their value systems. So all of that kind of, in my mind, falls under the three areas of our environment, our belief systems, and also our perspective and the way that we see the world. So I know there's a lot there, but you know, I don't think it can be understated the value of what it is that's going on between our mind and how we feel emotionally on a daily basis, and the impact of our environment on all of that. And for me, that's an area that, as I say, I've sort of lived in for a long, long time, particularly after having some pretty significant health challenges as a teenager, and so yeah, I think if it comes to my personal experience and expertise and insight that I can offer, it's certainly around that.
That's terrific. Now, we're big on the environment here at A Magical Life, and back in episode 37, we actually talked about environmental connection, where your inner environment reflects your outer environment and the connection to that, where you respect other living things and what the earth can give you. So your work with Whole Foods reflects environmental connection. What do you see the main problem being when people are disconnected?
I just think as a modern day society, and it's not our fault, but I just feel that we have lost touch with Mother Earth and everything that she provides. You know, I mean, for 50 plus years, you know, Don Tolman, you know, referred to as the whole food medicine man, his whole thesis and his whole philosophy was all around, you know, nature is complex so that we don't have to be. And it's just such a simple wisdom, and yet most people have no connection to that. And, you know, and the whole sort of principle of alchemy, you know, a few, air, fire, earth and water, and just sort of being conscious that, you know, our exposure to sunlight, our you know, connection with water, not just what we drink, but our actual connection with water and the ocean and sunshine you know, with the land, with the earth, you know, that has such tremendous ability to kind of heal us emotionally. For me, that's a connection that's been lost for so many people, and just little things like, you know, going down to the local farmers markets and actually exposing yourself visually and your senses, not just your vision, but also, you know, your other senses as well, to the variety of colour that nature offers. And I think if people were to do nothing more than just, you know, get out into the sun, get their bare feet into the sand, you know, get into the forest and do a mountain walk once every now and then, get down to the farmers markets, just simple little things like that, I think could really raise consciousness, raise vibration, and just help people have a greater connection to nature and to feel more fulfilled as well. So that's my take on that aspect of connection that I think many people have lost.
Love that. That's great. So, Zane, what are your top three tips on creating wealth? Now, when we talk wealth, we're talking not just financial, but personal wealth, emotional wealth, spiritual wealth.
It's a good question. I think if I was to look at wealth personally, I would suggest that the biggest problem we face, or most people have in front of them that they don't step up to, is their fears. And I think, you know, our fulfillment, our wealth zone emotionally and personally really comes down to our ability in life to be able to step up, be courageous, and to face our fears and to do, you know, what it is that we know is true for us in our heart. And so I would say that personally, wealth is all about backing yourself. It's about being courageous. It's about not letting fear stop you from taking a chance and from chasing something you believe in, chasing your dreams. Being courageous is, you know, knowing that shitty things can happen, knowing that things can't necessarily, may not go to plan, but doing it anyway. That's what courage is. And realizing that, you know, fear is never fatal, or failure is never fatal. You know, just knowing that if you face your fears and you step into something, the worst that can happen is you can learn from the experience. And from that learning, we can grow. as individuals. And for me, the bigger tragedy is not whether or not we fail, but whether or not we get to the end of our life and we haven't had a go. You know, we haven't believed in ourselves, we haven't backed in ourselves enough to follow something that we believe in. So personally, I think it's all about stepping into our uncertainties and our fears and just embracing the experience, knowing that whatever happens, even if it's the worst case scenario, it's not fatal. It's not going to stop us unless we allow it to. So that's how I feel personally, what wealth's all about. You know, I think wealth financially is kind of, when people think of wealth, they settle on the financial aspect to life. You know, I've been around a lot of very wealthy people for much of my life. A lot of the friends I hang around with are very well off financially, and I've learned a lot from them in terms of wealth principles. But I also know that without the personal wealth, without the personal emotional wealth and fulfillment, that wealth can be a lonely place, just having financial wealth. So, you know, I love the fact that you've got a holistic take on this, and you're not just asking about the financial side of it, because I think it's true that there are so many people who have it all financially and yet they feel lonely and empty emotionally. And so, but I think that's just worth us all realizing that that's a big aspect. But if we're talking purely about our financial, physical wealth, then I would suggest that the first most important thing is to have a smart approach to managing your money. You know, probably one of the smartest things we can all do is to eliminate credit cards. You know, I know I've been through stages in life where, you know, we've had a business failure or we've had a challenging time where, you know, we're in a flat spot financially. And it's one of the things about being self-employed, you know, you have your ups and downs, and sometimes you got to rely on borrowing money to get through times. And we've had times like that in the last 20 years in our business life. But credit cards, if you can avoid them, probably the number one tip that I can give. We made a pact about 2 years ago to get rid of all our credit cards, no longer have them. So now we have only debit cards, which basically means the money's not in the bank, the card doesn't work. And, you know, to learn to invest in quality assets and to be wealth conscious, to, you know, seek out information to help you expand your wealth consciousness. I think too many people go through life bringing in an income, and it's not so much how much you earn that matters, but how much you keep. And that's ultimately what financial wealth is about. It's about creating that plumbing system in your life, if you like, where you're able to channel the income that you generate, no matter how small, into the areas so that you don't live beyond your means, so that you're able to invest a little every single week, no matter how small that may be, so that one day you wake up and you realize that, you know, that little consistent habit that you did from a very young age is really the answer to true financial wealth. And it's what I've taught my kids to do. And they're a lot further ahead than I am when I was at the same age already in their working life. So yeah, just doing the little things right on a consistent basis and really opening wealth consciousness, investing in quality assets, getting rid of credit cards. For me, they're the main things.
That's great. And what would you say about emotional wealth?
Emotional wealth, yeah, I think I kind of touched on that. For me, personal wealth is about being fit emotionally, and we all go through so many different ups and downs and challenges in life, and you know, realizing that there's always somebody worse off than you, focusing on what you have, not what you don't, I think is a huge one. I think comparison is the thief of joy. And I think particularly, you know, today in the social media age, we are sort of subconsciously attached to what everyone else is doing. And, you know, whilst it's good to be connected and to have exposure to, you know, this vast world that we're in and all the benefits that come with having a mass connection with so many different people, I also think that the downside is that now more than ever, we're comparing ourselves to others and we're trying to, you know, subconsciously always level up and not realizing that, you know, maybe we're perfect just the way we are and maybe, you know, whatever it is that we bring to this world is enough. And yeah, so it's probably a combination of things, but I think the biggest thing for me is to just keep bringing your focus back to what it is that you actually have and being grateful for that. And, you know, from a place of gratitude, it's really difficult to feel emotions like frustration, like anger, like fear, like envy, which are common emotions that we all feel from time to time. So that's, for me, the secret to being emotionally fit and emotionally well is to focus on the good that you are, the positives that you bring to this world, and to focus on what you have and what you don't.
Couldn't agree with you more there. And for the listeners out there, no matter what you're dealing with, whether you are in a wheelchair, whether you've got multiple chronic illnesses, autoimmune disease, mental health challenges, no matter what is going on, whether it's purely a financial thing and you're sick of renting and would like to live in your own home, no matter what is going on with you, you have some significant wellness wealth. And that's really important to grasp and appreciate. And as Zane said, to be really grateful for, because things could always be worse, but you don't want to will that onto yourself. Really appreciate where you are today, what you've already overcome, what you've been through, because you have a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of experience, and a wealth of inner source, inner wellness that you really need to tap into to progress to your next phase, your next stage of not only happiness, but of gratitude. Now, Zane, we talk about weight loss here because so many people needlessly battle it. What is your story around weight? Now, I found this very interesting for the listeners out there before I let Zane answer this. He's one of the fittest guys I've ever met and very handsome. And I know I've already told your lovely wife, Inga, how handsome you are. But I didn't actually know that you had some weight struggles. So would you like to explain to the listeners a bit about your take on weight?
Well, it is an interesting one for me, Magic, because, you know, I haven't had much struggles in that area for a long, long time. But there was a moment where I did have a slight blip, and it goes back to my early 20s. But before I tell you about that, you know, for me, I had a different problem. You know, as a teenager, a lot of people don't know this, but I was actually, my mum had me in musicals, and I was, you know, I was singing, and I was doing a bit of stage work with the Courier Mail up in Brisbane, and doing a kid's show with another young lady, and we had a figurine or a mascot called Mango Monkey, and we used to go out and we used to, you know, entertain the kids in the shopping centres and all of that. But I never wanted to do that, you know, even though I had a bit of an interest in music and all of that. What I really wanted to do was I wanted to be a sports person. And so I started trying my hand at all these different sports. My dad had me racing go-karts. I was playing soccer. I was playing rugby at school. You know, and outside of school, I also started playing rugby league. And, you know, I enjoyed those sports and I gave it my all. But when it came time to, you know, get picked for, you know, the team for the weekend, I was constantly finding myself, you know, not being picked on the A team. And, you know, that had a big impact on me because I couldn't understand why, you know, I was in the frame. I was hanging around. A lot of my friends were very physically able and they were doing well and they were athletic and I wasn't in that zone. And it wasn't until I got into my repeat year of school, because I flunked out of school my first round of high school. I couldn't get into any kind of a university degree or anything like that. And I kind of got to a point when I was 16. I was 16 when I finished year 12. And I realized that, you know what, if it's going to be, it's up to me. And for me, when it comes to the physical aspect of our body and how we feel and our strength, and for me, it was all about getting stronger. It was all about proving to myself that I was good enough. So I stopped playing team sports and I started to work on myself. And in that repeat year of school, I was up at 5 a.m. in the morning. I was running the streets of Brisbane while it was still dark in the dead of winter. I got myself a weights bench and put it in my bedroom at home. I started lifting weights. You know, a year later, I took up martial arts. I started Muay Thai kickboxing. So I kind of just threw a series of years where I wasn't feeling like I was good enough physically. I decided that I was going to change that and I was going to do something about it. Fast forward till I was 21, 22, I went to Europe and I was basically working on boats in the south of France. And through that time, I had spent a few years prior doing martial arts. I'd just received my first degree black belt, I think about 2 weeks before I got on a plane to go to Europe. But when I went to Europe, I let my hair down. And for the first time in probably 6 years, I, you know, just fully let myself go. I was eating everything in sight, you know, that beautiful French bread that you see for the first time, that once you taste it, you just like, you need to eat it all the time, and French cheeses and wine and all of that. And so I went on a Contiki tour and I ended up living with some guys and we'd drink every night. And so within a very short space of time, I really ballooned. I think I put on about 15 kilos. Now, you know, if you were to see a picture of me at my fighting weight in pure shape from, you know, 3 solid years of training myself at a crazy level, and then here I am, you know, a couple of months later, sitting on a beach and I'm 15 kilo. It just didn't look right. Now, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, you weren't overweight, but it just didn't look right, didn't feel right. I knew I felt as sluggish as hell. And so I was just sitting on a beach one day in Mallorca, and I just decided, you know what, party's over, it's been fun, but now I need to do something about it. And the next day I got up in the morning and I just returned to what it was that I did in that second year of year 12, where I just went for it, and I just started running in the morning, started doing my weights. I stayed off the alcohol, and honestly, within about 3 weeks, I was back to where I was. So, you know, I don't have a challenging story to tell around how it is that I lost weight. But what I will say is that I know that it's an area where a lot of people struggle, and certainly over the years in facilitating, you know, health workshops and getting to meet so many people, I know that it's a big challenge. I will say that there's a lot of people who aren't necessarily super fit that are still very, very healthy. So I think a lot of people should be less concerned with their body shape, but more concerned with, you know, inflammation. Are they suffering from, you know, any chronic conditions? Are they pain-free? Do they have energy? Is their immunity strong? And I think the older we get, the more important those things become rather than weight. But certainly when it comes to weight loss, there are some tips I can offer if you'd like me to talk about that.
Well, I think probably the biggest tip, and I know that you're a big believer in this too, is how you start your day. You know, starting with, are you drinking clean, filtered water? Is that water structured? Has it got the correct mineral balance in it? You know, do you have your essential oils in it? Have you got some salt in there so that you can create your hormones? You know, do you appreciate the early morning sun as it rises? Because that's the healthiest sun for you to get. Are you grounding yourself in the morning? You know, do you go out, appreciate the sun and drink your structured water with your feet in the dirt or the sand? I think that is probably the biggest part of weight loss, is really grasping that early morning. So back in the day when we, you know, got up when the sun got up and we went to bed when the sun went to bed, people were straight out in the fields in the morning before the day's heat, before the fluctuations of their emotions during the day. They got the most done in the morning, and we seem to have lost that, haven't we, Zane?
We have. In fact, I've just written a 7,500 word ebook called Winning Morning Routine, and it speaks very specifically to what it is that we do first thing in the morning. And you know, when it comes to losing weight, for me, my framing around losing weight is more about, you know, finding your ideal weight, staying in shape. So, you know, I don't like to necessarily frame it as, you know, how it is that we should lose weight, or, you know, what am I going to do to lose weight? Because it kind of implies that there's a good chance we're going to put it back on again. So for me, being in shape is a lifestyle. And, you know, I think a lot of people, when it comes to weight gain and, you know, losing weight, they're focused on the short term rather than the lifestyle. And so they're too busy concentrating on going on a diet or some kind of a regime to lose their weight. But then soon after that, they return to their habits that got them there in the first place, and then they're on this cycle. But just getting back to what you were saying about the morning, the reason why the morning is so important, not just you know, for all the reasons you mentioned, you know, and there is an emotional connection to being in shape. There's no two ways about that, and a lot of that has to do with some of the less tangible things like being outside in the sun and breathing, you know, using things like essential oils to activate us physically and emotionally as well. But for me, the biggest thing is just an understanding of our body's cycles, and understanding that there are three eights that make up 24 hours, and each 8-hour block is instrumental to our biochemistry, to our ability to stay energized, to our ability to sleep well, and our ability to walk through time at an ideal weight. And the reason for that magic is that, you know, a lot of people don't realize that when they wake up in the morning, their body is in a natural state of detoxification. And, you know, when we think about detoxification, we kind of try to we pigeonhole and think that maybe we need to go on a cleanse or something. It's something we do periodically, but the reality is we actually detox every single day, you know. And it's the reason why when we wake up we've got that kind of tart breath. It's the reason we've got to go to the toilet and do number ones and twos if our body's, you know, optimally functioning. And, you know, it's the most important thing. And so you know, how do we detoxify? Well, we detoxify by, you know, urination, perspiration, defecation, and obviously respiration as well. So the skin is vital to that. So if you're not sweating first thing in the morning and activating the detoxification process through the largest organ of your body, which is your skin, then you're really doing yourself a disservice when it comes to maintaining your ideal weight, not to mention all of the other benefits that come with allowing your body to release toxins that are stored inside. So, yeah, for me, realizing how important the morning is from the point of view of supporting the processes of elimination would be the first most important tip. And the quickest way to disrupt detoxification in the morning is for you to eat straight away. And that's why now, and scientifically proven, that this whole concept of intermittent fasting is really taken off, because certainly as a weight loss tool and as an anti-aging tool and as an anti-inflammatory tool, nothing beats intermittent fasting, because it's something you can bring into your everyday lifestyle that doesn't disrupt your social life. It doesn't disrupt your normal family life. It's something you can do and still exercise, still work. But the just simple notion of delaying breakfast, and if people would do nothing more than just get up, put their shoes on, get outside, walk for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, if that's the level that they're at, then that would be number one. Drink some water, you know, don't eat till, you know, around 10 a.m. If all you did from the moment you waked up, whether it was 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. and you just did those two things, get up, exercise, a little bit of stretching, and get plenty of water into your body, and then not eat till like 10 a.m. What you're then doing is you're giving your body an opportunity to complete the detoxification process. And there's also a process called autolysis or autophagy, which kicks in at around about the 15 to 16 hour mark, where your body's cells start to recycle and they start to renew, and HGH kicks up, human growth hormone, and your body starts to go into ketosis. So it starts to actually tap into fat stores for energy as opposed to sugar. All of that is disrupted if you eat within the detoxification cycle. And so, yeah, it's a holistic approach to not just weight loss, but also to managing your health long-term for me. And it's not something we necessarily need to do every day, but if somebody's saying, well, you know, I'm out of shape, or I'm not feeling great, or I have some pain in my body, or, you know, I don't have energy, I'd love to lose, you know, 4 or 5 kilos and do it in a way where I'm not feeling deprived, then I would suggest that they look into intermittent fasting for sure.
Now, Zane, where can people find you? What's the best way for them to track you down?
You can find me on my Facebook page at Zane Truscott. That's probably the best place to find me. I also have a short 6-video mini course called Strong Health Foundations, which is available on my events website page, fortuneeducation.com.au. It's the first thing you see when you go to that website. Maybe we can post it in the show notes too, Magic. But it's just a link. It's a free course. Just pop in your email and you'll get 6 videos, 1 video a day. They're only about 4 or 5 minutes in length each, but it's everything from, you know, mindset to water intake to reducing toxicity to the real meaning of nutrition. So just some simple little things that will either kind of reaffirm what you already know around health and just help you to tap back into that, or, you know, it'll help you get on the path.
Now, you've got a new series of a video course coming up, Winning Morning Routine. So I would love to have you back on A Magical Life to talk about that soon, yep. Zane. But for now, people can get those strong health foundations at fortuneeducation.com.au. Terrific. So again, the website, fortuneeducation.com.au, to get the strong health foundations from our fabulous guest. So listeners, that was your episode 45. Coming up in episode 46, I'm talking to you about golden values, something that reflects or opposes the shadow values we talked about in episode 24. So coming up in episode 46, golden values. For now, thank you listeners for another segment of your time. I hope you got a lot from listening to Zane today, and go forth and create your magical life.
Thanks for listening today. Please subscribe to hear future episodes, leave a review, and share this podcast. You can follow us on Facebook at A Magical Life Podcast or at Holistic Natural Health Australia. That's holistic with a W. You can find us on Instagram at Holistic Natural Health or at www.holisticnaturalhealth.com.au. That's where you'll access all sorts of articles, freebies, and more.